In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Please bear with me. I don't have much voice today. I'm sorry. Do the best I can. Our Lord Jesus Christ's encounter with the demons in today's gospel is prefaced and preceded by his calming of a great storm, which had petrified his disciples. St. Theophylact writes in his commentary on this passage, "While the men in the boat were yet wondering what manner of man this was, that even the winds and the sea obeyed him, the demons came to proclaim the answer." Imagine that. Every gospel account of this incident emphasizes the ferocity, intensity, and strength of these demons. St. Mark's account of this incident provides us with a more graphic picture of these demons. Allow me to read that to you. "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes, and when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out, cutting himself with stones." And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him, and he cried out with a loud voice, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." A very graphic picture of the power and force of evil. But when these demons encounter the second person of the Trinity, the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, they are reduced to begging the Lord, begging him to be granted permission to enter the swine and ultimately to be drowned. By the way, these swine were being raised against in disobedience to the Mosaic law. And later on, after this incident is over with, the people that owned these swine, instead of rejoicing in the deliverance that our Lord had given to this poor, wretched individual, because their wallets were being impacted, said, "Would you please leave here? Would you please go somewhere else? You're making life too complicated for us." They had their priorities sort of out of place, to say the least. But we see here, as clearly as can be expressed, the demonic acknowledgement of the power and authority of our Lord Jesus Christ over them. Archbishop Averke writes, "Possession in its essence is a state where a man loses his personal consciousness and becomes enslaved to the reason of the demon, which then has full control of his body and the powers of his soul, resulting in indescribable suffering inflicted by the man's own actions. The greatness and power of the Son of God, hidden to the eyes of men, were obvious to the demons that have a more complete spiritual vision. And so they were in a state of horror and trepidation. The possessed men, because in some of these accounts there are two people, not just one, began to scream, confessing Jesus to be the Son of God and imploring him not to torture them with his near presence. The demons asked permission not to be cast into the abyss and not to be forced to leave this country, but instead to enter a herd of pigs that was grazing nearby." So in these verses, my friends, we see the strength and power of our Lord Jesus Christ over both the elements, the wind, the waves, etc., and the forces of darkness. The sheer might of a storm and fearsome strength of demons, which could bring us to a paralyzing fear and enslavement, exhibit total submission to Christ. The forces of darkness which arouse fear in us are only allowed to exist for a while by God, so that the true sons and daughters of God can be revealed. Our Lord himself says, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So what does this mean to you and me? To be succinct, we must strive to believe in our hearts that Christ is the Lord of the universe and be willing to express this belief of our heart by the way we live. We must, by the grace of God, aggressively confront darkness and sin in ourselves when we are aware of it. We must regularly examine our hearts to determine if we have sins lurking within us, and if so, we must expose these things to the light of Christ, as we too can be under the control of the forces of darkness. No matter how fearsome the forces of darkness may seem, and we all know how petrifying these different forces of darkness can be, we must remember that they have been defeated by our Lord Jesus. The reality of this struggle plays out in each of our lives through the daily circumstances in which we find ourselves. Do we wilt in a state of unbelief and allow ourselves to be led by the passions, or do we face the cares of each day in the state of trust in God? Make no mistake about it, my friends. He and he alone is the master of the universe. The demons not only are aware of this reality, they are completely subject to our Lord. And in a paradoxical reality, the demons both know who Christ is and are subject to his commands. The difference between us and them is that they hate God, even though they know who he is. We, on the other hand, are made in his name with the potential, or made in his image, I beg your pardon, with the potential to become like he is. That is, to become his children and his friends. To have that image of God which has been sullied by sin to be restored to the glory of God. For God to dwell within us, for us to be called the temple of God, and for that reality to be experienced. Satan and all of his cohorts desired to be like God, but not out of a spirit of love and obedience. They hated God and actually thought that they could overcome him. We, on the other hand, are called by God to clothe ourselves with Christ, to clothe ourselves with the virtues of God: love, joy, kindness, peace, long-suffering, all of these fruits of the Holy Spirit, these things that indicate to a watching world that we have an authentic, genuine relationship with the one who made us. These things that speak of what our heart is like and what our relationship with the Holy Trinity is or is not. So, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us call on the name of Christ, our true God, to fill us, to empower us, to forgive us of our sins each and every day, in order for us to embrace the struggle against the evil one. Let us diligently draw near to God with the fear of God and with unwavering faith in him and in his goodness. Let us live our lives one day at a time, trusting and depending on him to deliver us, to help us, to save us and to have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.